Welcome back to Ask the Educator, a podcast for all professionals involved in medical device processing and sponsored by Healthmark Industries. The education team here at Healthmark has 280 years of combined experience in areas ranging from sterile processing, endoscopy, OR, biomed, to hospital and industry leadership. Our goal is to leverage our collective experience to answer one of your questions each episode, giving you the practical tips you need to succeed in the evolving world of device processing. My name is Kevin Anderson, clinical educator here at Healthmark, and I will be your host. Let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Ask the Educator. This is Kevin Anderson, your host, and with me on this episode is Stephen Kovac. And Steve, welcome back to the show. I appreciate you being here as always.
Hey, Kevin, it's always good to be on Ask the Educator with you. I just enjoy talking with you.
Excellent. Me too. And today for this episode, I'm kind of excited because you brought up this idea of unsung heroes in our sterile processing departments. And I'm really excited about this one because I think it makes a lot of sense. And it's a good one to talk about and shed some light on some different things within our departments that make just such a world of difference and that we kind of don't really think about too often. So why don't you introduce one of these unsung heroes?
Okay, thanks, Kevin. And yeah, I think this is a topic we could talk about. And the first one, I'm going to give you three examples, and then the last one is what we'll talk about. When I think of unsung heroes, it's what are some of the other pieces of equipment in our department people might take for granted? You think of the heat sealer, your demagnetizer, and other things like that. Well, I think there's a really big one, and it's the cart washer. And the cart washer is just unbelievable. And the evolution of the cart washer, even over the last 10 years, is starting to transform sterile processing, where when I started out in the 70s, it was just, you know, a standard, you put something in it, basically one or two cycles, and that was it. No windows, no nothing. And as you know, I'm from the Detroit area. There is a true story. I do know of a death of a sterile processing person, and I've shared this story whenever I talk about cart washers, is there was a person who actually got locked into a cart washer. The cycle ran. They didn't hear them. They were screaming. And remember, this is in the 70s, and they were more like the meat locker doors with no windows that didn't have where you could push it open or emergency cord. Well, the cycle, you know, ran and somebody was in there, and then they did get the person out and they died a few days later. But the point of the story is that safety, no matter what type of equipment, is important. And because of that, you got the windows and the safety cord, and you don't want anybody to die. But that was just something very, very unfortunate. And when we get into some of the things, we'll talk about safety concerns and so on. But yeah, the car washer, think about it, Kevin. You had one, correct, back where you were working, right?
Yeah, we were fortunate. Yes, we had one cart washer. And, you know, it's funny that you mention it as an unsung hero. Well, you know, every time that thing came in and it was working, you didn't think twice about it. But once it went down and you had to get back there and start washing carts by hand, oh my gosh, you start to appreciate that piece of machinery so much because of all the back-breaking work and all those crevices you got to get into with the cart washers. I mean, that piece of equipment is absolutely critical to a busy SPD department, especially obviously if you're doing case carts. But as you mentioned, they're getting more and more sophisticated. Thank goodness they have windows now and they have all those safety features, because we don't need any more tragedies with equipment like that. But what a great piece of equipment. And now you can maybe even do instruments in certain kinds and all of that. So yeah, great piece of machinery that we were very fortunate to have.
You mentioned something, Kevin, and I think sometimes people tend to forget this, that what is their backup plan when a cart washer fails? We had a steam gun, a steam Jenny, whatever, they go by many names. And even having that, you got to conduct your in-service because it's heat and it's steam, and do people know how to use it? And if not, how do you wipe it down and do different things? So I'm going to tell you another little tidbit. This is how naive I was as a supervisor. When our cart wash would break down, after they'd wipe it, we'd have to decontam, and they'd open the door and push it through and come out because that was still the pass-through. Well, staff used alcohol to wipe the case cart down. And man, you'd go by where those were being wiped down, you would smell that alcohol. And I was wondering sometimes if people weren't sniffing it. Man, I go by, I go, hey, Mr. Kovac, we got to make sure this is dry. And I've always wondered what would happen if I snuffed too much. I don't know. I'm just saying. But when you have an automatic piece of equipment, you've got to make sure if it breaks down, what is your backup? And how are you going to clean this? And you yourself know all of a sudden you're backed up and you don't have space. And now you maybe have to have two people doing it. So again, it's really a piece of equipment. And with that, you know, we talked about the 10 factors of clean and so on. And you can apply the same things with a cart washer. You got to make sure you have your temperature right, your dilution, what can you go through? And this is very important. I want to ask you, Kevin, was your cart washer, could you put instruments through yours? Was this a newer model or an older model?
Well, technically it was a newer model, but it was not an instrument washer capable cart washer, only because that type of washer required a larger footprint than our department could afford. So we did a newer version of the older capabilities, where it just did, you know, carts and other utensils and things like that. So
sure, because that's what's interesting. There's an article I wrote almost 11 years ago about the cart washer. And we did a survey at that time, and the cart washers then didn't have the ability to do instrument trays, but people were running orthopedic trays through a cart washer on wire racks and running it. And I was one of them back in the day, because you'd have so many and you'd think it was the same. You were told and you just believed and you came through. And now these cart washers are just really a big automatic washer in a sense. And so you still have to, and you and Seth and Sharon talked about KPIs. You have to have KPIs for your cart washer too. And so what are the things with a regular cart washer you want to monitor? And that's your temperature and impingement. And yes, we do have a product called the cart wash test. It's really the only one out there. But when you think about it, you want to make sure that water and those jets are getting in those corners down in the bottom. You said when you were doing it manually, you had to get down almost on your hands and knees and clean it. Well, that's why you have these tests, so you can help verify that it's going. So you usually place one on top of a cart and one or two in the hard places, because what if your spray arms are blocked and you're not getting anything there? This then helps you monitor some of those key parameters or those major parameters. And so it allows you to do that. So also then, if you're running instruments and you have that rack, you would also then, for that rack, you would want to do it with a cleaning indicator. And in our case, since this is sponsored by Healthmark, but there's many other products out there, but you would have to run a TOSI in it and the appropriate size and the amount, depending how big the rack is, because you want to make sure it actually can clean and do what it's supposed to do. It makes sense. You know, you got to look how you're using this and how do I ensure it's doing what it's supposed to do every cycle, every day I use it. And I hope that makes some sense to you, Kevin. It's real, real important to verify and test it.
Yeah, it does. Just like any other automated equipment. I mean, there's all kinds of things that could potentially go wrong. And it's important that we're testing it and making sure that even if we're not doing instruments, right, we're doing just case carts. Well, what are we doing with those case carts? We're putting surgical instruments and surgical supplies into those case carts. And we want those to be presented to the OR in a state that's going to not promote surgical site infections. We want to make sure that they're as safe as possible for handling. And how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to make sure that that critical piece of equipment is working properly. Sometimes there's alarms that go off. Sometimes there's error codes and things like that. But there's times when that stuff doesn't happen, you know, and that's why we run our tests to make sure that it's working properly. But yeah, I mean, that's absolutely the right thing to do. And then you had mentioned it earlier. I think this is a critical, critical step for those of us, you know, in those lead or supervisor or management roles, is to have that backup plan, because you might be looking at all of a sudden you need more FTEs back there. It's going to take you longer. You know, as long as our cycle might be, it feels like, oh, 28 minutes. How can we wait that long? But remember, you're doing, a lot of times you're doing two carts, maybe even three, depending on the size and shape of your carts. And they're doing up to those three carts or whatever in 28 minutes. That's major productivity when it comes to cart washing. So you may be putting yourself really behind, not only FTE wise, but time wise, if that thing goes down.
And think about it. So while those three carts are being cleaned, let's say for that 28 minutes, that staff member is doing something else. So when that cart washer's down, can they clean three case carts in 28 minutes? So now you're doing that. So who is doing whatever they were doing in those other 28 minutes? And so this is all in your battle plan. And I want to circle back to this after I bring two other points, because this is very important, but I want to make sure, I know we're getting close to the time we allot. I think there's a couple things that people need to make sure. We're using unsung hero, and people call us up a lot that, what are the competencies we should be doing? And I've always believed you should have at least 12, a minimum. You're doing a new one each month, but sometimes you need more than that. And the cart washer should be one. And it should be something that it's done at least yearly, and when you get your new employee orientation. And it should cover the training and the safety, the year review of your policy. Does everybody know how to work it? What's changed? Do they know how to test it? Do they know how to pull the safety cord? Where the safety stuff is at? How do you program it? Now they're programmable, where before it was just press a button and so on. But if you're looking to, I don't have enough competencies to do, and I've heard this from some people. They're saying, what should I be doing? This is a critical piece of equipment, and you should make sure your staff knows how to use it. Call us up, and we can do our in-service on cart washer. Get the OEM manufacturer rep out there to go through it, or your service guy, and make sure the PMAs are up. Work with your biomet person. You've got to coordinate all this. And so that's really important. And people have to remember, the cart washer is low to intermediate disinfection. It's not high level. It's low to intermediate. And if just because the director of the ER comes down and says they want to put through wheelchairs, you make sure your cycle can do wheelchairs, or what cycle you use. And if you reprogram it, people have to remember, they have to go back and reprogram it for instruments or whatever. I don't know if you ever had that issue with doing things other than what you had, Kevin. Did anybody ever come with you with any strange requests?
They were close. There were definitely ideas of sending stretchers from the ER into our, through our cart washer. That didn't actually end up happening, but I could totally see how that could easily happen, especially in maybe a more rural area where, you know, the SPD is doing equipment from all over the hospital. Obviously, this is going to vary from location to location, but, and I guess it doesn't necessarily matter if it's rural or not. It's just whatever the demands are of your department that do vary. And, you know, having those different various pieces of equipment that may come from all the different corners of the healthcare facility. Yeah. So you definitely got to be ready for them and, you know, make sure and be cognizant of the different settings available to you.
That's true. So I want to make one quick point, and then I'm going to circle back to something to help close this out. So again, the cart wash is a piece of cleaning equipment. And here in the U.S., when you check our standards, it's listed in ST-79. So this is something, again, you should be doing each day it's used. You should be making sure it's meeting certain parameters. So if you are just running case carts through, making sure temperature and impingement, you do your water quality or dilution and make sure those settings. If you're doing instruments, you would run a cleaning indicator, hopefully the TOSI, on the day, and you document and do all that. But that's very important. You just don't buy it and not use it. And I'm using the term buy because you said earlier something that you did your homework, that because of your space requirement and whatever, you would have liked a bigger one, but you had requirements. So you had a series of questions. I'm sure you asked the different companies you're bidding by. And what were some of the questions you were thinking as you were trying to buy a cart washer? If there's people out there buying one now, I got a few questions. What's some questions you remember you were jotting down to make sure you bought the right one for your department?
Well, I think it's important to know what it can do, if it can do instruments and all of that. That was sort of a new feature. And once they said that, of course, I was immediately interested, just in the event, you know, our instrument washers went down, to have that capability as a backup to our instrument washers was great. So what is the entirety of the functions available to you? Number two would be like capacity. So how many carts could you actually fit in there? And that's the carts that you're using at your facility, because there's all different shapes and sizes, right? So what of the carts that you're using, how many of those can fit in there at one time? What is the cycle length? What are the requirements from the facility itself that we can actually manage? And then from there, it's how easy is it to use and train? So it's all of those things that are so important when you're considering these types of equipment.
There's something I hear from people, and like you were saying, what is the cost to run and do it? And different companies quote different things, and they'll say it'll cost like $1 per cycle. And somebody will say, well, Myers is only 50 cents. You go, why is there this difference? One of the differences, they can be recycling the water, where the same water, certain parts of it are used one time or three times or up to five times. So that decreases your cost. So you have to also ask, are you going to use new and fresh water every time your utility cost goes up and so on? And how long does it take to install? Do you need a pit? How are they going to help you make this part of your QMS system, your quality management system? And as you write the RFP, you might say, since we're doing instruments, you need to make sure you pass the tests I use, or pass these tests for non-instruments. And remember, you're the one buying it, so you need to put those in your parameters. And so hopefully, Kevin, my clock is showing we're getting late. Was there any other quick questions? I think we got people to think about a cart washer if they want. There is a nice article I wrote. It still got really good information if they contact us, or it's on our website. But I hope we hit the importance of understanding your cart washer and testing it and not just taking it for granted.
Yeah, I think we gave them all the major points to think about and to consider as they either want to purchase a cart washer, implement a cart washer, or maintain it. There's a lot of things that are so important about this unsung hero of the SPD department. And I just want to thank you for sharing your knowledge with the audience and being a guest again on the show. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, that wraps up our first episode of a series called Unsung Heroes of the SPD. In this episode, Stephen Kovac and I discussed the cart washer. Most of us don't even think twice about the cart washer until it goes down and needs repair, and then we're stuck washing case carts by hand. However, this critical piece of equipment is like any other equipment, like your sonics or your washers or sterilizers. You need to have a comprehensive program around your cart washer. So what does that mean exactly? Well, I'm going to tell you, you need proper training and competency, especially on those important safety features. Remember what Steven's story comes to mind, right? And then you need a quality management system in place to ensure it is working properly every day that it's in use. And then don't forget testing for instrument cleaning if you use your cart washer for instruments. And then lastly, what is your backup plan for when this piece of equipment goes down? I hope that you enjoyed this first episode of your Unsung Heroes of SPD series. Please remember to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you have a question or comment about a show, we'd love to hear from you. Send your thoughts to our email address at asktheeducator@hmark.com. Thanks for listening. All opinions expressed on this show are those of the presenters. Before using any medical device, it is important to review the device manufacturer's instructions for use.